This is Let's Talk Big with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is the New York Times bestseller, True Biz by Sarah Novick. True Biz is a story of sign language and lip reading, cochlear implants and civil rights, isolation and injustice, first love and loss, and above all, great persistence, daring, and joy. Now, sharing passages, topics, and events related to the book is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jen Hazel.
Welcome to Let's Talk Big. I'm Jen Hazel. My co-host is
Jane Berger.
And today we're joined by
Ann Sergeant,
Assistant Dean for the School of Liberal Arts at Owens Community College.
Welcome to Let's Talk Big, Ann.
Thank you.
So, Jane, your most favorite line that I ever say. Do you have a passage?
As a matter of fact, I do. I always do. From our favorite book, True Biz, by Sarah Novick.
Is that this year's good read?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is. So if you don't have a copy, run out right now and get one. So this is pretty early in the book, since we're still pretty new into the semester. Page 40 is following along. And just to give a little bit of background, Charlie, our main character, is just going to start her residency at the deaf school, where it's a live-in deaf school. And she's excited. I think her dad is happy for her. Her mother, however, is not. Now a motorcade of minivans was cresting the front drive, brimming with things the students didn't need, more often than not missing things that they did. Younger siblings carried bedrolls bigger than themselves because they wanted to glimpse this magical intersection between school and sleepaway camp to which they could never belong. Some parents in tears, some heartbreakingly indifferent in the face of their children's departures. February kept an eye out for those students, ones whose parents had chosen boarding as a matter of not of necessity, but of convenience, an alternative to the pressures of learning to communicate. That line right there, the pressure of learning to communicate, just really stuck to me. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have a child who you couldn't communicate with. Now, there's the teen years, and, you know, that's not the same thing. But Charlie is deaf, as we know. She's, you know, one of the main characters. Her father accepts that. Her mother does not. And because of that, she has a cochlear implant that she is not happy with. It hurts. It doesn't seem to work well. But her mom so wants her to have hearing and be like everybody else. And because of that, she's really kind of forced her to use that implant and not encouraged her to learn sign language or any other, you know, alternative. And so there's some angst between mother and daughter. And again, putting myself into the shoes of both Charlie and her mom, I have to say I side with Charlie on this, that communicate however you can with your kids. I mean, if I had a child who was deaf, you bet I would be all over learning whatever is going to be the best way for me to communicate. I'm halfway there because I talk with my hands. And you'll see as you go along in reading that there's often some instructional pages that have you learn signs. And it's been very helpful. And it is a lot more for me. It's a lot more complicated. Look at them, going, okay, my fingers here. It's just so cool. So now, if I can concentrate on getting the hand signals, remembering what they mean, and the precision. And I don't know, so maybe that's what her mom is worried about. Maybe her mom's worried that she'll have, like, sloppy hand, you know, language, and one slip can mean a whole different thing. Maybe it's just too difficult. Maybe there's some shame. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think it's hard for parents. So there's a story called Welcome to Holland, and it's about what it's like for parents who have a child with some disability, which I think in the book, I think that Charlie's mom really sees it as that. Just doesn't see it as this is how Charlie communicates, but as a disability. So The story, you're planning a trip, and I can't remember the city, but say it's Italy. So you're planning a trip to Italy, and you're expecting vineyards, and you're going to get off the plane, and there's wine and delicious pasta and all these things, and this is what you're expecting. And when you get off the plane, you're in Holland, and it's not what you expected. And what do you do with that, right? Like, you expect this, and you get off, and it's something totally different. And I, you know, and the point of the story, of course, is, look at all the beautiful things in Holland. Look what Holland has to offer and all those. But I think it's really hard when you want your child to be, I quote unquote, normal, right? Because what is really normal?
Right.
So I wonder, you know, if that's the case in, with Charlie's mom. I don't know.
Well, and I think it comes from a place of love that she wants the best for her daughter. And I think she thinks that this cochlear implant that will allow her to hear, if not perfectly, at least something, and then communicate in a way that is familiar to mom. And so she thinks she is doing the best thing for her, but she's not listening to Charlie. And that's, I think, where the divide comes in.
As a parent of a child who is quote-unquote disabled, and I've talked about this before, and many of our listeners know that I have a son who is profoundly autistic and is nonverbal. And one of the things that I think, and I talked a lot about this with my younger brother at one point, is that you don't, it's like this, you don't want anything to be wrong with your kid. So then once, and I think that that's where Charlie's mom is, is she's like in this point of, I don't want anything to be wrong. I want her to be quote unquote normal, as you said, Anne, like everyone else. And a cochlear implant makes you normal.
Right.
Signing doesn't make you normal. It makes you outside of that. And what's interesting is, in thinking about this, so Fox uses an AAC device. So it's on, he has an iPad, and there's an app on that that he uses to communicate. He also does basic sign. And we sign with him. And we do both, because when you're at a water park, you're not taking your iPad with you, right? Okay, so, and sometimes it's just not, like, conducive. And also, Fox likes the signing as well. So one of the things is, it's just you're giving, it's, and I think she's at the point where it's like, okay, what am I going to do here kind of thing. And so, like, with Fox, we had to be like, in it, and I think someone once said to me, well, are you giving up hope by letting him have a device? No, what I'm doing is giving him ways to communicate with me beyond the simple things that he can, that he can communicate by pointing, once he's gotten to like a point where there's more that he couldn't say to us. And I think that it's like, I don't think Charlie's mom has enough of an education in deaf culture to know that there's a whole culture there for her at this point. So I think that that is where we are. And I think what's really, truly amazing about Novik's work is there's two things. One, I love the image of the motorcade of minivans. Because all I can think of is a motorcade of minivans. And then the line, which is the pressures of learning to communicate, it is incredible. And there's points like this throughout the book that I do, we haven't talked about as much, that I do want to stress as we keep going about this, that there really is some points where she is just phenomenal with what she brings up in the language and those nuances and things that you can just paint the picture.
And through a novel, she's still educating. And that's what I like, because I don't have a lot of knowledge. And so while I'm entrenched in the storyline, I'm still learning, and I won't, I'll save this for a future podcast, because I don't know how far people are, but it's just very, very cool how she weaves that all in, but keeps you wanting to turn the page to see what's going to happen next.
She's incredible. But I can feel the pressure of our producer breathing down my neck, even though he's not behind us. We love him, but it is time to wrap her up today. So on behalf of myself, Jane, and Anne, you're going to keep talking big. Listen to Let's Talk Big on Outcast OCCR, Owens Community College Radio, Thursdays at 7 and 10 in the morning, and 7 and 10 in the evening. You can also listen anytime with the podcast. Find Let's Talk Big link on owensoutcom.com website. That's Outcom with two M's, owensoutcom.com. On behalf of our guests, Ann Sergeant and Jane Berger, and myself, keep talking big.
Catch Let's Talk Big on Outcast OCCR, Owens Community College Radio, every Thursday at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m., and at various times throughout the week. Or listen anytime on the Outcom RSS feed. Visit owensoutcom.com for the link. That's Outcom with two M's, owensoutcom.com for Let's Talk Big.